Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
We are having
a wonderful, wonderful conversation. This is the last segment. It'll be an hour, believe it or not, with both Jessica Dunn, who is the Director of Social Work for Hospice Care Network on Long Island here, and with Kelly Tully, who is the youngest daughter of Mary Ann Tully, who is the hospice was named after, who was a hospice volunteer and really was just such a devoted person. And Kelly was sharing some stories just before the break in reference to her mom going into hospice. And do we want to go further, Kelly?
I mean, it's an incredible experience. And, you know, the people that come in, and like I said, they're come in with a smile on their face every day. And it truly is for the families and the person that, you know, is in the hospice itself it's amazing. And I've experienced it both at the inn and at home with both my parents. So I've had a little bit of both. It's very nice. And I can't tell you how many calls I get from or emails from people who have been at the inn as well. And just thanking me and my family, you know, for being such a huge part of hospice.
That's beautiful. And it's very important. I actually, maybe it was 10 years ago, I went through a program at the Landsberg Hospice, which is part of Parker Jewish. And I trained to be a volunteer. And I did it for a while, to be honest with you. And then I do so many different things, you run out of time. But I used to go to people's houses and keep the person company whose spouse was in the hospice. And just, you know, maybe go shopping or something, just, you know, for that downtime. When they went home and they had nobody with them and the wife or the husband was in hospice or even hospice in the room next door. There was one situation where it was at home hospice, but the poor woman didn't know what was going on. And he just sits there for the day. So, you know, you go in, you give him a break, you talk about stuff. I don't know anything about sports, but this particular guy was a sports nut. And I'm like, oh God, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, but you just go, yes, it's company. At the end of the day, it's company. Did I want coffee? Did I want tea? And they're so appreciative. And that's like an organization like the Mary Ann Tully Hospice Inn and everything that's involved in the network, the Hospice Care Network. It's so important for people who don't, you know, you don't realize it. You just said it, Kelly, people are giving you thank yous.
Yes,
because
yes.
You never appreciate it until you go through it.
It's very true.
You know, my mom died. My mother was born on St. Patrick's Day and she died on St. Patrick's Day. And she died 5 years ago. And coincidentally, you know, she just went in for gallbladder surgery, never came out. She died in 5 days. My sister and my two brothers, my wife, two of my girls, one was away. Everybody was with her when she died. Because we got a phone call and, you know, there was 20 people around her, which is, you know, you're not always going to get that. But she knew we were there. And that's, I think, such an important thing with hospice that even, and this is my belief, even if the person is unconscious, I think the spirit and the soul know that there's people around who, as you said, Kelly, are singing.
Absolutely.
I hear the song. Mm-hmm. You may not think I do. Sing to me anyway. Yeah. You have nothing to lose. You agree, Jessica?
100%. Yes. I think that's, you know, what keeps people going in the difficult work that we do. You know, people are definitely inclined to work in hospice. You can tell, like, you know, the people that when someone starts working, you know, with us, you can kind of see right away whether they're going to be a lifelong hospice person or if this is going to be just kind of a dip in their career. Because that revitalizes us when we have a patient or a family that, you know, their goal is to be together around that person, wherever they might be at the end of their life, providing them comfort, providing them care, and we're going to help them do that. So even though from the outset, it looks like a very sad situation, there's so much love, there's so much hope, there's so much joy. You know, I feel very lucky to get to meet people that have lived amazing lives at the end of their life and look at their pictures and hear their stories and give them that little bit of value and give them that meaning at that such a difficult time. So it's going to happen anyway. We might as well help to bolster it and make it a little bit better. So that is how I think all of our staff view their jobs, that we're honored to be given that opportunity to be with someone at that vulnerable moment, and honored to and thankful to the families to partner with us to do that, because we can't do it on our own. If we don't have a family, like Kelly was describing, that accepts us, that listens to us, that converses with us, you know, we can't provide as good of a care. And, you know, especially the kind of support, you know, Kelly's family gives us, you know, financially through their fundraising and the amazing things they do, we're able to really provide complete care for patients. So we try to pride ourselves on not saying no. Like I said, we're a Medicare funded program, so that doesn't always encompass everything somebody needs, but having that wiggle room with the fundraising and the support really makes it possible for us to really get people what they need.
And that's so, Otto, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, just like you, John, my mother died in 2003, and I've had a number of personal experiences with hospice, all positive. But I remember my mother, we didn't know about the Tully or the hospice inn, at Margaret Teats Nursing in Jamaica. And my mother wound up in there. And I remember when my mother went in, and I looked at pictures of the Tully inn, it reminded me of it. She went in and I could just see a deep sigh of relief when she got into this room. It was like being in a Marriott hotel. And she looked out and there were flowers and, you know, I could just see my mother was really at peace now. And at that point, she was 91, 92 years old. And it felt good for me, frankly, to see her in that state, if you will, you know, even though she was going to die. But the people around her were so committed and so dedicated, and the difficulty, I would think, in your world to get people to do that. You know, not everybody has that gift, if you will. So, you know, if people are inclined to go that way, boy, do it, because I think you're giving to the world a great gift if you help people through these difficult times. Like John said earlier, doing for others, boy, there's nothing more than helping others when they're dying, you know, if you will. It's not always an easy time. Some people can handle it and some can't. So anyhow, that's my speech.
Well, no, I appreciate that, Otto. And the other thing which I want to say, we have a few more minutes left. Otto is one of those people we have on this program. I call it, you have to own what you do. And Jessica, you just said it. I don't want the person that's getting paid and they went to a different job because they got another $5,000 raise. Now, I want you to be there because you love hospice or you love being a cook. I don't really care what it is. And Otto had said it years ago. And Otto is really, he's a member of Project Independence, and he's just an extraordinary human being. And I love him. And he talked about his dad once. And his father was a milkman, a professional milkman. Makes no difference what you are. Do it from a professional opinion. Do it from the point of view that you love your job. You shouldn't be a hospice person, volunteer, just to get some credit on a resume. You have to go in there and open your heart and soul to whoever it is in that bed and try to give them whatever piece. You're not going to make them healthy. There's no question about it. We know that. And at the same time, we're all going to die eventually anyway. But just have the road to death somewhat nicer. That's all I'm saying. And I'm going to go back to Kelly, and then we're going to go to Jess. But from Kelly's point of view, and I want to congratulate you and your family. I mean, we're not ending this now. We don't even, but the amount of work you do, and your brothers and your sisters, you got to come up with something else. You know, you have the ability to raise money, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. You can give it to anybody. The fact that you're maintaining this for your mom is just, it's phenomenal.
I'm just going to go back one thing. Here we call them hospice angels. I know they really truly are angels, the people that come in, the nurses and the caregivers, the volunteer caregivers, they're angels. But, you know, I think as for us, we want to continue my mother's legacy through hospice. She was a huge integral part in building hospice to what it was or is, you know, when she passed, and it's continued to grow immensely since then. So, you know, my family and I will definitely continue to, you know, support hospice any way we can. You know, I know my sister-in-law does the gala. She's been chair of the gala a couple of times. So it's been, you know.
Oh, I forgot about the gala. Right. I know you do the gala too. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I know you've gone to the gala.
Yes. Yeah. We've gone to the gala many years.
Right. But you know, you have to do what you can at the end of the day. And then you have someone like Jessica who is running the show. You know, honestly, it's the truth. I mean, this is a perfect match because you need somebody like the Kelly family, the Tully family, who's out there trying to support it with love and money. And then you have Jessica with love and skill, trying to get the best possible care for the people who are utilizing hospice. Because that's got to be rough because you want to open your heart, but you realize it's going to get hurt every day because tomorrow I'm going to walk in and see that Susie is no longer here. Mm-hmm. She died during the night, or Eddie's not going to be there, whatever. And it's heartbreaking, but you still have to give it your all every day. Right, Jess?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the way we look at it is if we can make it better for the patient and the family, if we can make it so they can be present, feel their emotions, go through it together. And we know then the people that survive this death are going to be better off and live richer lives and have better relationships with their family, then it's all worth it for us. You know, that's really what we strive to do. It's not about us. It's about the patient and the family. So it might make us a little sad. We are human, and we do this job from our heart, but we also have to be maintaining that outlook that it's for the patient and for the family. And I want to just mention that, you know, yes, Kelly's family immensely fundraises for us, and that's amazing, but also the awareness and the word that they spread about hospice is so important too, because that's something we're always trying to. I thank you so much for having me on today, because I think there's a large group of people that could really be benefiting from our services that maybe are scared of the terminology, scared of the word hospice. And I think the fact that Kelly's family is getting the word out to so many people with their golf outing, with the people they know, by their support of the gala and everything, they're trusted people in the community, and they're, you know, really letting people know what the service is and not to be scared of it. That's such a huge help. And I thank you, John, for contributing to that today too, because I think people need to know that we're here for them, not just in the last couple hours.
Yeah. Right, I'm agreeing 100%. The number for Jessica is 516-832-7100, and that's for anything. So even if you want to get involved next year in the golf outing, or you want to go to the gallery, you want to go to anything, you just call the number and whoever's answering the phone will get you in touch. You know, right now with the pandemic, it's terrible, and we're going to be this way until June. That's my guess. I have no idea. Vaccine will roll out, etc. I have one person yesterday who I was told died from COVID, who I went to actually grammar school with. And another friend of mine is in the hospital. And that's just in 2 days. That it's just, you know, I sent something out to a couple of clients the other day. We have on a daily basis as many people dying who died in the World Trade Center bombing, 9/11. We were over 3,000 a day almost. That was such a big deal, and it was. And we have that number dying on an annual basis. But anyway, I want to thank you both very, very much. We're basically out of time. I told you, this flies. The hour goes so fast. I will have you both back again because this is just so much information. You're two wonderful, wonderful women. Jessica, I want to thank you for all the work you do, your hands-on work with the people. And Kelly, all the work that you and your family do to get the money together to keep Jessica going. And to keep honestly, at that point in time, to keep everybody finding as peaceful a death as you possibly can. And that's what it is, because we're all going to die. That's basically it. I want to thank you all very, very much. Have a wonderful weekend. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.